Okay, today's daf is Kilayim Daf Nun Dalid, and we started the sixth parak yesterday, Baruch Hashem, parak Ezehu Aris, and we spoke about that. We know that Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel have a machlokas, whether one row of vines is considered to be a kerem, a whole vineyard. So we had a machlokas about that earlier in the Masechta. But we learned in the Mishnah that even Beis Hillel would agree that if the one row is supported by a wall, or it's in a ditch, so then that gives it chashivas for some reason, and therefore it is considered to be an entire kerem. How do you measure the four amos? So we had a machloka Beishamai and Beis Hillel, and we saw that maybe this is one of the kule Beishamai and the chumre of Beis Hillel, which is unusual, but that was one. But then we saw in the Mishnah that Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri said, no, it's a mistake. Toan kolomrim ke, no, that's not where the four amos measurement comes from. We have a mesorah about the four amos, but it is referring to a different case, that if you just have a vine and a wall, and you want to plant in between the vine and the wall, so then you need four amos there, right? A different misora. Okay, and then we had, how much is the avodas hagefen, as we have said, that the mentioned 20 times in this Masechta, from one vine, how far do you need? So we've always said, and we paskin six tvachim. Six tvachim from a vine, four amos from a kerem. But we noted that the Rabbi Akiva in the Mishnah says three tvachim, but again, we don't paskin that way. So now we have the Gemara. V'kashal da'at de Beishamai, didn't Beishamai, v'kashal Beishamai, below kachin o'asur mishum kerem. One second. According to Beishamai, one row is asur, even without the aris. Right, we said if you have five vines in a row, as we just mentioned, that Beis Shammai doesn't need the aris, the wall, in order to make it into a considered a kerem and the aser. So according to Beis Shammai, what do you need the kerem? What do you need the wall for? So two opinions in the Gemara, one here and one a little bit later on. Answer machlokas Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Answer number one, Rav Shimon Lakash Amar, Baris HaMu'ukam Shanu. Well, we had this Gemara once earlier also. Maybe we're talking about an Aris Mu'ukam, meaning even Beis Shammai agrees that one row could be a whole kerem, only if they're all within a row. If you have five vines neatly in a row with each other, then Beis Shammai says that that's considered a vineyard, right? If they're all in a row, and then you wouldn't need the wall. But if they're not all in a row, what if they're not exactly in a straight line? You have three in a row and two a little bit outside of the row. So then one, but it's not fully two rows, because two rows, that would be fine. That even Beis Hillel agrees. So if it's a aris mu'ukam, then they're not in a straight line, then even Beis Shammai agrees that one row is not good enough. So the chiddush of the Mishnah is that if it's on an aris, if it's on the raised wall, so then he would agree. In ba'aris mu'ukam shanu, below gedder, eino asur mishum kerem. Right, if it's an aris mu'ukam, if it's crooked, so then it is not a usher without the gedder, and that's answer number one. Answer number one is that we're talking about a aris mu'uka, meaning it's the vines that are not in a straight line, and that's why even according to Beis Shammai, you need the wall there in order to give it chashivus. Good. And the second answer to Hashem will come up in a couple of lines from Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yonah boy, before we get to the second answer, Rabbi Yonah asks, Mahu Lizara Beintayim. Okay, a couple of different pshatim, what exactly this means. Are you allowed to plant between them? Between them. So what does this mean? Rav Chaim Kanievsky says, in the middle, you see he has a picture there also, in the middle of the vines, let's say you have this, it's not an exact row, it's not all five in one row, so two are sticking out. Between the two and the three, are you allowed to plant there? Because, says Rav Chaim Kanievsky, mi boile, maushi yizor ben akfanim betoch akerem, deshema lo amr lahak agarba amos ben akerem, ela kish yizorea betzad akerem. Maybe the four amos at the side of a kerem is only exactly that, when it's outside the kerem. Shazera ro'eh es kol hakerem. When the zera outside is next to and in proximity of the entire kerem. Avo betocha kerem, but ironically, within the kerem, and you look to one side, there's only three vines. You look to one side, there's only two vines. So maybe there you treat it as just singular vines. and then you only need six tefachim. Aval besocha kerem efshar denidon kizorea etzel gefen echidus. Maybe it's like planting next to one vine. Umikol makom shitalei detoch shura yishara ben gefen lechaverta lo yizara. That we'll get to in a minute. But that's the question. Ma'ol yizara b'tayim. Can you plant? Now that we said that the Mishnah is talking about this crooked formation, you have three, but not two next to it, perfectly lined up next to it, so it could be considered two rows. No, but they're just sticking out, and they're not exactly in line. Can you plant between? So the Gemara says, "Bimechuvanosein v'at amar muter lizra b'intayim." Right? We changed the girsa. I'm sorry, "Kimechuvanosein." Right? No, we treat them as all one big vine. Right, even though it's ma'ukam, we treat them as one big vine, right? Because of the aris, because that it goes over onto the wall. So you're telling me it's mutter? It's a vine. It's planted within a vine. I'm sorry, it's planted within a vineyard. You treat it all as a kerem, right? Kim mechuvano same. We treat this case because it's all connected and hanging over the aris. It's ke'ilu, it's one big vineyard. So, of course, it's going to be usser, right? So that's the switch of the gear sub. Yatamar mutter lizrabin tayim? No, you would not say that. So the Gemara says, okay, that's not what I meant. I didn't mean ma'ol lizra b'tayim. This is really the question, right? Not in between the rows, but in between the vines themselves. Ma'ol lizra b'na gafanim, right? You have the three in a line and a two in a line. So you can't plant between three and two because that's like mamish considered in the middle. But what about between the vines in the same line? So what about that case? So for this, if you look in the Gilyone, Rav Yaakov Yisrael Kanievsky, Rav Chaim Kanievsky's father, the stipler, he says, "Mi boile kivan de ikar ha iser aris mi breishet tzarech avodaso dal ramos umakam avodaso b'chutz bimenu." Once it's called a gefen, so then you need the avodas hakerem outside the vineyard, the four amos outside. So then maybe ibein aris legeder imi b'chutz avolo benek vanim atzmam. Maybe between the gefanim themselves, the vine themselves, maybe that would be okay. Again, ironically, when you're further in, you might have more makel standards. So the Gemara says, we don't. And if this sounds familiar, we had back on Dav Lamed Dalid, right? Lamed Dalid, 20 days ago, we had a question, and we gave an answer. And here, it's going to be the question's the answer, and the answer's the question. So we have a misora about one of these halachas. We're not sure which one, but we know we compare it to the other one. That's what the Maharaf Fulda said earlier in Daf Lamed Daled. So we're not sure exactly, but the Gemara asks, can you plant between the vines? So the Gemara says, "Come on, detaim our gabi muksha." We're going to be brought back to Kilai Zroim for a minute. Just like by muksha. Remember muksha? Muksha are the melon-like, gourds that have very far-reaching leaves. Far-reaching branches. So, kama that there are b'gami muksha, asur lizra b'na gumos. If you have holes in between the mukshas, right, in between the melon type of plants, far-reaching leaves, you can't plant in between them. Afhacha asur lizra b'na kfanim. See here too. Also, you're not allowed to plant between the vines. So this is again, as I just said, look back on Daf Lamed Daled, we had the question, could you plant in the gumos b'na mukshas? And the answer was, well, you can't plant between the vines. So here, the question is, can you plant between the vines? And we said, oh, just like you can't plant between the mukshas. So that's what the Mara Folda said also. I'll read it again from Daf Lamed Daled. Dahashas kibel me'echen mehen shehu asur ve'eni yodea ezehu upashet hacha mehasam umehasam mehacha. Right, so here's the hasam mehacha. But that is the question and answer after the first approach. So answer number one, again, answer number one to the original question. The question was, according to Beis Shammai, you don't need this wall to make it into a vineyard, right? Five, one row is enough to make it into a vineyard. So why does the Mishnah say that, oh, if it's on a wall, then it turns into a vineyard? So answer number one is Reish Lakish, that we're talking about in Aris Mu'ukam, where the vines are not lined up perfectly, and therefore, even according to Beis Shammai, it would not be a called a kerem unless you have this wall. Answer number one. Answer number two, Reb Yochanan Amar, fifth line, Barza Mechuvan Shan, no, we're talking about a straight Aris. It's straight. And in baris amechuvan shanu, and if it's a straight aris below gather in aser mishum kerem, so isn't it aser anyway? According to Beis Shammai, one row of vines is aser; it's called the kerem. So isn't that aser anyway? So the Gemara says, "You're right." Neymar begin Beis Hillel tanite. You're right. It's only telling you a chiddush according to Beis Hillel. According to Beis Shammai, it's called the kerem even without the wall.
even without the aris, right? But we're talking about what according to Beis Hillel. So then the aris, the mechitza helps it be considered a kara. Fine. So two answers. Says the Gemara now, commenting about these two approaches. Amar Rabbi Chananya Mistavra Mode Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish who gives the first approach. Reish Lakish must agree. And what Reish Lakish say? We're talking about an Aris Mukam. We're talking about it's not in a row, and that's why even Beis Shammai. So Mode Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish Rabbi Yochanan Ba'aris Hamechuvan Shanu Begin Beis Hillel. Right? Reish Lakish only said Mukam to explain Beis Shammai Shita. But Beis Hillel Shita, Beis Hillel says that, oh, if you have one vine on the wall, it's considered chashuv, and therefore it's considered a whole kerem. Beis Hillel might only say that by a straight vine, by a mechuvan vine. Right? We have no evidence, according to Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish says the me'ukam ukimta in order to explain Beis Shammai. But it could very well be that according to Beis Hillel, if the vine is crooked, then even if it's on the aris, it's not called a kerem. It could be, again, let's read that again. Mistavra, it makes sense, Moda Rishim and Lakish, Rabbi Yochanan. Rish Lakish would agree to Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan who says, we're talking about a straight vine. But Moda, but Be'ariz Mechuvan Shanu, begin Beis Hillel. Right? It could be that Rabbi Yochanan, again, Rish Lakish would agree to Rabbi Yochanan, that Beis Hillel Shita, that aris makes it chashuv, is only by straight. Umod Rabbi Yochanan Rabbi Shimon Lakish, and the other way, Rabbi Yochanan would agree to Reish Lakish, Ba'aris Hamu'ukam Shanu, begin Rabbi Yochanan Ben Nuri. Rabbi Yochanan would agree to Reish Lakish that Rabbi Yochanan Ben Nuri in the Mishnah must be assuming that it's an Aris Ma'ukam. Must be assuming that it is a crooked Aris. Why? Why does Rabbi Yochanan have to agree? Again, Rabbi Yochanan says that the Mishnah only talks about for Beis Shammai. Again, the question is, according to Beis Shammai, what do you need the Aris for? You're right, you don't need it. Right, it's just for Beis Hillel. But Rabbi Yochanan agrees that Rabbi Yochanan Ben Nuri's comment in the Mishnah assumes that we're talking about a crooked, and again, not exactly in a row. Why? Do Rabbi Yochanan Ben Nuri Amar Toen Kala Omrim Kain? Remember Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri's lashon in the Mishnah yesterday? He said, oh, that's such a mistake. What a mistake they made. Toen kala omrim kain. You can't say that that's the misora, that there's a machlokes, that if you have it close by, then it's going to be chashev. Im temar ba'aris ha-mechuvan shanu, if Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri assumes that the Mishnah and the machlokes is about mechuvan, ma'is be'toen, what's he making such a big deal for? It's such a far-fetched idea that if you have a row of vines that's in perfect order and it's spread on a wall, that sounds pretty good. That looks like it's going to make that row of vines chashuv. He gets so emotional. He says, oh, such a mistake. He would only say that he would only say that if it was me'ukam and not if it was a straight. Again, it's impossible that he labeled a mechuvan vine as toin, right? Because that makes a lot of sense. Kuleyama, that would be a kerem. The machlokas must only be about me'ukam. So the fact that he says toin and he gets very upset about it, it must be that he thinks that it is about Mu'ukam. Let's read the words of the Ma'arafold. Megin Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. Look at the first wide line. Begin Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri to Amar al Tana Kama Toen Kala Omrim Kain. He says, wow, what a mistake. Ve'ilo Shana Ela Mechuvan. And if he only was talking about the straight vines, Ma Toen Yeshba. Well, what's the big deal? What's he so surprised about? Right? If it's talking about a straight vine, then it makes sense that that gets chashivus. Tibim mechuvan yesh lano lahachmer yoser v'leesar afilu migeder l'sada. So Rabbi Shlomo, Rabbi Yosef, the Kaman, Asim migeder. Right, he continues and brings a Gemara later on. But that's the Ma'arav Folda's pshat of the line. It must and therefore the Gemara is saying that Rabbi Yochanan, who says the Mishnah is about mechuvan, about a straight vines, he agrees that Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri must understand it as a case of me'ukam. Because if it was mechuvan, he wouldn't get so upset about it. He would realize that that's agreed upon, that it should be for Amos. A couple of points, right? There's, he gets very upset, toen kala omrim kain, what a mistake. There are different levels of mistake,
when we talk about Psak HaDin. The Gemara in Sanhedrin Daf Lamed Gimel. Sanhedrin Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph talks about if a Dayan makes a mistake. If a Dayan makes a mistake. So when do we say that that's such a mistake that it's as if the din didn't take place? Because that's obvious. Or when do we say it's a mistake, but you know, everybody makes a mistake. The din is a din, but you made a mistake. So the Gemara talks about it, makes a chilek between, some might be familiar with this chilek, ta'a b'shikol adas and ta'a b'dvar mishnah. If somebody makes a toas in a dvar mishnah, which basically means it's explicit. It's explicit. So if you make it something that's explicit, so basically it's not called a psak, because it's explicit against you. Right? If you read the pasuk wrong, so then it's explicit and therefore it's not even called a din. Toa b'dvar mishnah. The Rashi says there, Sanhedrin Lama Gimel, she'ta'uso matzui b'davar ha-mishnah. Ein dino din legamrei v'chozer. And just the din is chozer, bo. The whole thing is undone. The other type of a mistake is toa b'shikol adas. Shikol adas means estimating and decisions. So it's not mefurish, we make a decision. So even if I think the dayan's wrong, if it's not mefurish against something, that's tol b'shikol adas, and that is not that's not uprooted by itself. Damar Rav Sheshes, Damar Rav Asi, tol b'dvar mishnah chozer, tol b'shikol adas eino chozer. So now the Gemara says, so what's called a dvar mishnah? A pasuk in chumash? Okay, pasuk in chumash, that's mefurish. So how far do you go? How about a mishnah? A mishnah, like literally tol b'dvar mishnah. V'yavol ervinu Rav Ashi, afilu tol b'dvar b'chiyav Rav Oshia. What about Rabbi Chiya Boshia? Who that? Tosefta's. Not a Mishnah, but it's also discussions of the Tanoim. We know Mishnah, Brisa, Tosefta. Those are all the Tanoim. So what about Rabbi Chiya Boshia? Rashi there. Hai Dvar Mishnah de Ka'amar. Mi Amrinan Da'ata, Afilu Ta'ba Dvar Mishnah. Bit Tosefta de Rabbi Chiya Boshia. Shehem Sidra Tosefta. They put together the Tosefta. Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi gets all the famous credit. He put together the Mishnah. But Rabbi Chiya and Rabbi Oshia, they put together the Tosefta, where the Tosefta's are also organized. They're in the back of every Masechta. Prices aren't organized. V'sadmu b'masha sasmu. V'lo avi ikr kol kach k'mishnah seinu. It's not as important, so to speak, as our Mishnah. Shesasma Rebbe. Shahaya gadol mehem. V'kol hayeshiva mitsuya etzlo. Al yedei shehu nasi. Right, the whole yeshiva, the major powers in the Torah world were with Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi. V'diktiku imo b'dvarim v'ha'amidu maburyam. So Ravina asked Rav Ashi, right, the two greatest last Amoraim of the Gemara. What about the Toseftas? Is that, or if you make a mistake in a Beferish Tosefta, right? Do you say that it's a mistake? It's called Tav B'dvar Mishnah. Amar le'in, yeah, yes. You gotta know that. Afilu b'Rav Shmuel. What about Rav Shmuel? Meaning the early Amoraim. How far do you go? Right? Amrle in. So again, Rav Ashi says, yeah, that also. Amrle afilu b'didi b'didach. What about explicit Amoraim? What about our discussions, Ravina and Rav Ashi? What if a later generation makes a Amrle? So Rav Ashi answers a line that's quoted. Atu anan kadli kani ba'agma anan. What are we reed cutters in the swamp? Right? Come on. We also, you know, our misores are significant. Was there basically, what's the difference between Rav and Shmuel and us? Of course, we know that they're on a certain level. But are we katli kani ba'agma? So the Gemara says, that's called Tov B'Dvar Mishnah. So the question is, where does it end? Where does it end? The Rush quotes here, Rush on that Gemara in Sanhedrin, quotes a machlokes, it Rishonim, what about a Beferish Gaonim? Right, Gaonim lived after the Gemara. Right, all the Gaons, Rav Achai, Gaon of Hai, Gaon of Shuri, Gaon. So does it continue to that? Okay, the Mishnah has special status. The Gemara has special status. What about the Gaonim? That's a Machlokas. It's a Machlokas whether Ta Bidvar Gaonim is considered a Ta Bidvar Mishnah or not. So, and this is part of our larger shiur that we mentioned in the past about the stages of the Mesorah. The Mishnah is a stage, Stimas HaMishnah, Chasimas HaTalmud. What about afterwards? That's the rush, the important, very important rush, Perek Dalet in Sanhedrin, Os Vav. Umasha Pasku HaGaonim Achar Stimas HaShas, Midas Machra'as, V'lo Mehalacha Bru Psuka, Medashas Kesugin Da'alma Havi. Umadatoi Bey, Toa B'Shikol Adas, Lo B'Dvar Mishnah. So the rush holds, that's called the Toa B'Shikol Adas. That's not, that doesn't have the same power. V'haravid Kasav, and he goes to the Ravid, and he says, no, maybe it has a certain power. So that's an important discussion. Yiftach B'Doro Kishmuel B'Doro. Okay.
That's related also to the sugi of niskatnu hadoros and when are there the different stages of the masara. So the Margolius Hayam, one of the classic achronim, right? The Rav Reuven Margolius on the Sanhedrin. What's that lashon of weed cutters? Reed cutters in the swamp. What are we? Reed cutters in the swamp? It's like, what are we? Nothing. Where did that lashon come from? And that's quoted by achronim in various contexts. So he says usually when you have something that grows, you have to put in the seeds and plant it and plow it and do all the sidur depas, and eventually you cut it. But reeds in the swamp will grow by themselves, right? They just grow. You go out to the swamp and you see them growing there.
So the Chachmei HaTorah, that work hard and they seed and they plow and they thresh, they're serious.
If somebody doesn't work too hard and they just like say, they're like the reeds in the swamp. So what, you think I'm a reed cutter in the swamp? No, I cut wheat in the field. It says, that's what it means.
Lo yaganu datenu ba lokenu.
Fascinating. That's what he says. That's how he has the mashal. I remember Rav Schachter once told over a story that talking about Tavid Var Mishnah, that he was once sitting next to Rav Moshe Feinstein at a wedding, and somebody came over to Rav Moshe to ask a kasha. So Rav Moshe gave the answer, and then he turned to Rav Schachter and he said, he thought he'd get me on a Befeirish Prima Gadim. Right? The Prima Gadim is in the back of the Shulchan Aruch, the columns and columns of little letters. Right? Where the Prima Gadim wrote the Eishal Avram on the Magen Avram and the Mishpat Zav on the Taz. Rav Moshe knew Prima Gadim by heart. And he really thought that somebody was coming and testing him on the Prima Gadim. Rav Shatta always starts crying when he tells somebody the story. So he was testing him. He knew Beferish. For Rav Moshe, Tavid Var Mishnah was like a Beferish Prima Gadim also. Right? If you had Beferish Prima Gadim. That's part of the corpus of Torah that you have to know. And what's the Havamina that one would think that one doesn't know it. Okay. We continue. Rav Yochanan Reish Lakish is also an amazing discussion that we could talk about, but let's just do a little more Gemara, and then maybe we'll get back to the Rav Yochanan Reish Lakish relationship, and also about the Tavid Var Mishnah, stages of the Masara. But now let's continue first. Bein Kaman Da'amar, three lines to the bottom. Bein, so what did we just say? We said the Mishnah, Machlokes, why it said in the Mishnah, the case that according to Beis Shammai, you don't need the wall there. Even without the wall, it's going to be a kerem. So Reish Lakish said, no, it's talking about Aris Me'ukam. And Rabbi Yochanan said, no, it's talking about a straight Aris, and it's just L'shitas Beis Hillo, you needed it, not Beis Shammai. So Bein, Kamanda Amar Be'ikar, Gvanim B'moshkin, Bein Kamanda Amar Me'ikar, Geder Moshkin Ma'beinehon. So remember we had in the Mishnah, we had a Machlok of Beis Hillo, where do you measure from? Where do you measure from? Let's say you have a vine that's a little separate from the wall, and then it goes onto the wall, and therefore, oh, it has chashivas, it's called a kerem. So where do you measure the four amos from? Do you measure it from the vine, or do you measure it from the wall? So the Gemara asks, what's the difference? Meaning, maybe the Gemara is assuming that the vine is very close to the wall. So does it make that much of a difference? Like, what's the difference where you measure it from? So the Gemara is going to give an answer. Well, it depends if we're talking about a me'ukam or a mechuvan. The Gemara is going to go through each one. So here we go. Amar Rabbi Yonah. So Rabbi Yonah says, and again, the Mara Folda says on the second line on top, V'lakach nokad Rabbi Yonah ha'pitaron bitravayu. Rabbi Yonah is going to tell us the answer in both cases. Chade b'me'ukam, chade b'mechuvanas. One talking about a straight vine, and one talking about the crooked vine. So first the crooked vine. Tiftar, what's the case? Shayokarsin nisunim miksasim betoch arba amos, miksasim chusla arba amos. What's the case? The case is, you have a wall, and then you have the mu'ukam. Let's say picture that you have three vines a little bit further away on the east side. Right, east, the three vines in a row, and then a little two vines stuck out a little bit further than that. So that's your picture in our head. We have a wall that's going north-south, and then a little bit next to it is three vines, and then two vines sticking out. So where do you measure the four amos from? So what did Beis Shammai say? Beis Shammai's lashon was, you measure from the gefanim, v'lasada. And we're talking about planting how far to the east. How far to the east? Where do you count the four amos from, and you want to plant tvua on the east side? So according to Beis Shammai, you're going to go from the vine, which means from the outer two, from the most east side of the vine, you're going to go out. So therefore, there's going to be a chumrah. You got to wait four. But according to Beis Hillel, the whole chashivis of this vine is because there's a wall there. So you start from the wall four amos. So if you start from the wall four amos, so you're going to be able to plant the tefuah closer to the wall. So let's read that. Man da amar me ikar kfanim moshchi nicha. According to Beis Shammai, who says that you go from the ikar kfanim nicha, then it's good. You start from the most eastern vines. As we said, there's three in a line and then two in a line, a little bit east of them. So you start from there and you count four amos east. But according to the one that says you start from the wall, so moshchina makom shachut kala aser vashar mutter. You start counting from four amos from the wall, and wherever that ends, mutter. It's within four amos of the vines. That's okay. So according to this way of explaining, Beis Hillel is the mekel. Right, the way we explained it in the Mishnah was flipped. But according to this way, the Me'ukam case, Beis Hillel is the Mekel, because he's able to plant closer. So that's the case, and again, this is all how the Ma'ariv Fold explains it. That's the case, as we just said, you have a wall. East of the wall, you have this Kerem Me'ukam, and you want to plant east of that. That's how we just explained it. So now, the other case. Hayu, what about the case of Mechuvan? This is Rabbi Yonah's second half of discussion. Hayu sham shtei amos. What if there are two amos? So what's the case of two amos? The case that we have, you want to plant on the opposite side of the wall. You have a vine on the east side of the wall, two amos to the wall, and then you want to plant on the other side of the wall. So how far do you have to count? So, man to amar me'ikar gafanim moshkin, if you start from the ikar gafanim enu asel she'amo. So here, Beis Shammai is going to be the mekel. So if you count from the gefen, so then you have two amos between, again, the case here is, the gefen's on the east side, two amos east of the wall, and you want to plant on the west side of the wall. So in this case, planting on the west side, Beis Shammai is going to be mekel, because you start counting the four amos from the vines. So you have two amos on the east side of the wall, two amos on the west side of the wall, and then you're good to go. Right? But if you, like Beis Hillel, you're counting from the wall itself, because the wall is what gives this chashivus and makes it into a kerem, then you have to wait another two, you have to count four amos from the wall, and in that case, Beis Hillel would be machmir. Good. The Mefarshim, the Radvaz on the Rambam, discuss why this case is not in the Mishnayos and Idios, which summarize all the unusual cases where Beis Shammai is Mekel and Beis Hillel is Machmir. Right? It's listed there. So why isn't this case there? So they talk about maybe Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri also is involved. So maybe it's not only Beis Shammai Shita, it's not only Beis Hillel Shita, it's other Tanoim, and that that list is only where it's purely Beis Shammai, purely Beis Hillel. That's the suggestion why it's there. One other ha'ara, maybe getting back to what we were talking about before, in terms of the Gaonim being included. Rabbi Yaakov, in the Emes LeYaakov on Baal Oscha, has an important piece where he talks about the concept of every dor being, we don't hold of the stage of the Mesorah. It's not exactly the same. Obviously, the Mishnah and the Gemara were stages that have no parallel. But really, every generation further from the source, even Moshe kibal Torah miSinai uMesara liYoshua. Where does he get that from? Tumura Tezayin. The Gemara Tumura Tezayin, I don't have to say, Bavli Yerushalmi, because there is no Yerushalmi on Kachim. So, even though there was a fake one, as we spoke about in the introduction to the Shiurim, but that was disproven. But the Gemara in Tumura says that Tezayin, B'shashin Iftar Moshe Rabbeinu L'Gan Eden, when Moshe Rabbeinu was about to die on the last day of his life, right, the last day of Moshe Rabbeinu's life, Parshas Kisavo, Nitzavim, Vayelech, Hazinu, Zos HaBracha. All of those were on the last day of Moshe Rabbeinu's life. What does it say at the beginning of Nitzavim? Atem Nitzavim Hayom Kolchem, Hayom. Moshe Rabbeinu is giving, it's the day. We don't really think about it, that the last five parshiyos are all the last day. The last day. So, B'shashin Iftar Moshe L'Gan Eden, Amalei Yeshua Shalom Medikol Sfeikos, Sheish Lecha. He says to Yeshua, "No? Any kashas? I'm not going to be here too much longer. What questions do you have for me?" Amarli Rabbi, klumi nachticha sho achas v'alachti l'makom acher. I haven't left your side. Lo kach kasafta bi u'misharso Yeshua ben Nunar lo yamash bitocha oel. I love that line. Didn't you write about me in the Torah that I never left your tent? You know what? So miyad toshas kochosha Yeshua v'nishdachu min el gimal lachos
immediately Yeshua got weak spiritually. He forgot 300 halachas. He had 700 tzveikas. Va'amdu kol Yisrael v'hargo. Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Lo amar lecha yefshar. So Hashem says, I can't tell you. Go work. Go figure it out. You have to have a melus. But what's the whole message? Wasn't Yeshua Binun right? He never left Moshe's side. You know, why did this have to happen? So Rav Yaakov explains, because Yeshua knew everything except for one idea. The concept of Diskatnu Hadoros, the concept of the generations go further away from the source of Maimon Har Sinai, every generation is going to be a little more diluted and a little weaker, so to speak. And even Yeshua Ben Nun, the way he had to know that was to experience it. So, Amnam Nira Afshe Yeshua Lamad Kol HaTorah Mipi Moshe Bikamakom Klal Echad Ba'alacha Lo Lamad Mimenu. And what's that Klal? Shabbos Kuf Yud Beis. Im Arishonim B'nei Malachim Anuk B'nei Anashim V'im Arishonim B'nei Anashim Anuk HaChamorim V'haynu Shekana Yemoshe Malamdo HaKlal HaGadol Shel Chasimas HaTkufos. The stages of our Mesorah. V'yachshav Kishi Yegiyaz Manos Shel Moshe Lipato L'Gan Eden Nigmur HaTkufas Moshe Kibal Torah Misinai U'maschil HaTkufas V'nasna L'Yoshua. Right, and this is not just, he says, a melitza ba'alma, but there are yisodos psikas ha'halacha shenivne alav. And that's what he says. You know, it wasn't a tviya, it's a tviya on Yeshua, but there was no way that he was going to know. No way that he was supposed to know about it. But again, this is a crucial idea. Again, this doesn't mean that, right, yiftach b'doro kishmul b'doro, the Gemara says. Right, every leader is great in their generation on the same as the earlier generations. But we do believe in a concept of Mesorah and the kavod and the fealty that we feel to earlier generations must be every generation. And we know, like we do, that we think back at the Altaheim and the earlier generations. They were one generation closer. And we have to recognize that as we go through the Shalshalas HaMesorah, as we continue learning Halacha. Okay, we'll stop here, B'Hashem. We'll continue with Daf Nun Hey next time as we continue our march through the sixth Perek Ezehu Aris.